It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We're off and running on this, the 11th day of July, 2018. This here is the horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump into the merry, madcap, wacky, real-time, zany, screwball, multimedia extravaganza that is the horn chat room. Yes, just do that. Click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and by God, there you are. You'll be greeted and welcomed by the likes of Anatole and V.T. Blom and Will in Chicago and more who will be wandering along presently, being as how we don't stand on ceremony and we don't have a tardy bell here or anything like that. Yes, all capably moderated by pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Hey, we're running hot and true on both of the streams, so that's a real net positive, good double plus bonus, yada, 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 yada. Yes. Yes, indeed. And so, no threat of lightning or thunderstorms or anything like that, so, you know, we can at least hope that we're going to have a pleasant, uninterrupted, spirit-filled is very important in the evangelical community, spirit-filled prayer meeting Wednesday, yes. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, almost forgot that part. Mm-hmm. And, It is prayer meeting Wednesday. You know, it's more than just the middle of the week, more than just hump day, more than just downhill to Friday. No, brethren and sistren, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and we are off and running, also trying to catch up with the misery that is our fundraising dilemma. Oh, no. I mean, thank you, but oh, no. Larry just jumped in with some help. We got up to $455 to go in fundraising this evening, and Larry just jumped in with $1,150, so that's $443.50. $443.50 we have to finish to get caught up here with the 11th day of July, and I better write that down on something, because assuming that when we pass the plate we get some responses, that's going to mean some hellacious ciphering what all with the loose change rolling around there and falling down in between the seat cushions and whatnot. Yeah. We also have subscribers, and subscribers get thanked at the beginning of the program. There's simply not enough good I can say about the subscribers who knocked down about a quarter of the Horns funding in any given month. So, in particular, thanks go out to Christopher this evening. Christopher in Oregon. Also to Mary Bell in Kansas. Thank you, Mary Bell. Thanks going out to Brendan in Oregon, as well as to John there in Maryland. Thank you, John. Thanks going out to Tony in Chico. And thanks as well to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very, very kindly. In addition, thank you very kindly to John. Thank you, John. And thank you to an anonymous friend of ours in the science-y community. Thank you. And thanks again to the new subscriber, Daniel. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you very much indeed. If you'd like to be a subscriber to the program, at the rate of something less than... because I just thought it was really handy. I got it today to keep in the car, because you never know when you're going to need some. I was up at the Rippy Mart, and they had a little carton of sort of like mini airline bottles, kind of like with the booze, only not. Mini, the little airline-sized bottles of Texas Pete hot sauce. And I thought, by Jove, that could come in handy, because, you know, sometimes you get road food, and you'd like to light it up a little bit, but... they really don't have anything, and good God, if you've ever tried what McDonald's passes for a hot picante sauce, you know, it's ugh. So I picked myself a little tiny airline bottle of Texas Pete hot sauce. Do you know that even a little tiny airline bottle size of Texas Pete hot sauce costs more than what 3 hours of this program does for a $10 a month subscriber? It really, like twice as much. But as it is, a $10 a month subscriber to the Horn is out the functional equivalent of less than half of a Taco Bell taco for every program. Wow. Just wow. So that's where it is. But we've got, and by the way, thanks again to Silent R. Lamar who put a challenge forward and followed through on it, even though it wasn't fully responded to. Thank you very much to Silent R. Lamar. Things would be much worse without it, much worse. But like I said, it's more than just downhill to Friday. No, brother and sister, and it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Oh, and I want you to know, brother and sister, that the little old blue-haired ladies outdid themselves again today. You know, we did some sort of carry out not too long back, and It was pretty decent, but no. This time through, they got back in that fellowship hall kitchen, and they took to cooking with a will. Oh, they did. It was a beautiful thing. You don't think about corned beef and cabbage in the middle of July, but they did. The little old blue-haired ladies, yeah. They sent the little old blue-haired men out and had them manning the grill, and grilled up some briskets, smoked them nice and low and slow, brought them in, finished them in the oven with surrounded by mountains and mountains of cabbage, sliced it thin, 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 and oh mercy sakes, was it good! A little bit of homemade buttermilk coleslaw to get things started. Yes, yes. Homemade clover leaf rolls, woo, to go with it, mm-hmm, and some baked beans that they made themselves with their own secret blend of flavorings and sauces and enhancements. Oh, it was some kind of good, brethren and sistren. And then over on the dessert table, something heavy like a big brisket meal. Well, they sent the little old youngins out there to crank crank the ice cream freezer, and there was homemade vanilla ice cream over fresh sliced, sweet, delightful, fragrant peaches. Yes. And I want you to know that the deacons, I mean, they had spoons in each hand when they went after it. And there wasn't hardly nothing left even in the churn for the little hard-working children from the fellowship hall to lick at when they were done. But then they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs, went shambling out into the parking lot and took to smoking with the sinners. They were there for a rock solid half an hour, lighting them one off the other. They were the deacons. But then Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule doorway, and along they come a running. Oh yes, they did. All they had to do was hear one crackle out of the Cathedral of Common Sense, solar powered cattle prod, and I mean, well, you ever seen a buffalo take to running? They seem like they're a little bit slow to get going, but there's a whole lot of mass and a whole lot of momentum there, and the law of inertia kicks in, and things in motion tend to remain in motion, and things at rest tend to remain at rest. And there wasn't no rest among those deacons when they heard the crackle of the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod. No siree, no sir. And I mean, they tended to remain in motion. They shot through past Sister Carol. They shot through the vestibule door. They thundered past that bowl of desiccating butter mints and on down the center aisle and lined up right here. I can see them with my own eye peepers now. And they're proudly holding those heavy, heavy, heavy brass plates lined in burgundy velvet with the little PayPal button in the middle that's connected wirelessly to the Cathedral of Common Sense server. Yes, you know the one I'm talking about. And so they're as we move in to the offertory hymn, brethren and sistren, well, you know what to do, right? Keep one, with every head bowed and every eye closed, glory. Except the one you keep scrunched open so you don't get a concussion when the plate comes by and your neighbor with their eye closed cronks you in your head that's got its eye closed. You know, you got to keep that one eye scrunched open. The Lord won't mind. Just take the plate and press the button and pass it along. Sign up for a subscription, maybe. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. You didn't want that Taco Bell taco anyway. It's not like what's in it is actually meat. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Yes. Brethren and sistren, just take it and pass it. Yes, indeed. As I call forward the minister of music, amen, to lead us in the offertory hymn. Hallelujah. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got.
prison for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, he's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mercy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy dobby, a kiddly dobby too. Wouldn't you, brethren and sistren, wouldn't you? Oh, I'm calling on you right now to get up out of your seat and onto your feet. I'm calling on you to weeble and wobble and waddle and screech and scrunch and come on out from amongst the pews, and come on down that blood-red aisle. How glory, amen, and fall, I'm a-telling you, on your how glory, fall upon your knees, and lay your hands upon the subwoofer there at the altar, and feel, how, amen, the healing rays of common sense, how, a-flowing through you, from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Ponerized Pontiff, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mufti, Bob Kincaid. And it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Amen and amen. Brethren and sisters. Brethren and sisters, I want you to know that we're not spending enough time thinking about the future. No, brethren and sisters, we're not. In the future, when the end times cometh, brethren and sisters, it's going to be hard enough getting along on nothing but bucket pudding. And praise God, Jim Baker is out there, and he's finally got us something to go with our bucket pudding. Nothing makes pudding more enjoyable than a nice hot cup of bucket coffee. Yes, amen, hallelujah.
God has spoken to us to prepare for what's coming. I believe Donald Trump was given by God to give us a respite and give us a time of prosperity. But do you think the evil Antichrist spirit is sitting back?
No.
They're fighting tooth and toenail. They're fighting the president.
Yes.
They want to kill him.
Yes.
And believe me, if they get one open shot, someone will kill our president.
Matter of fact, in the news yesterday, they had to go and find somebody in Pennsylvania that has made threats to the president of the United States to kill him.
Yes.
This is real. And when you talk about the prophets being here on this stage, this is the number one thing that keeps saying, Jim, Lori, audience, we are living in the most prophetic time in history than any other time. If that's the case,
I mean, it's more prophetic than when crazy old John was sitting out on Patmos hallucinating his toenails off. That's right. It's a prophetic time. I think they meant pathetic.
But no, no, and somebody in Pennsylvania done said something nasty about the president. And on the other hand, Jim Baker never really mentioned during those the 8 years of the Obama presidency the fact that the Secret Service was busier then than they've ever been in their entire history, because the death threats rolled in like they just sort of tumbled into the Secret Service like popcorn kernels out of the popcorn popper at the movie, the hopper of the popper at the movie theater house. Yes, but somehow or another, that never got onto Brother Jim's radar. No. But nonetheless, all of this talk, you know, about the end times and everything, and how blessed we are to have Julius Geezer. Well, so there are still necessities for those that don't get swept up in the clouds, either with or without their clothing. That's a holy war for them to have amongst themselves. Are we going to rapture naked, or are we going to rapture with all our clothes on? Which? And no one really knows.
We're getting the storehouse ready one bucket at a time. And all you preppers that don't have coffee, this is your moment to start getting your coffee ready. Start stocking up on coffee. Bartering is going to be the number one thing.
What do you think
can you imagine an apocalypse without coffee? Now that, by God, is apocalyptical. Who'd want to go through a post-rapture apocalypse without a good steaming cup of Bucket Joe? Mm-hmm. See, it's not just a cup of Joe. Over there in Branson, Missouri, it's a bucket of Joe. You know, you can almost see the polyester-clad denizens of the Jim Baker broadcast studio walking out into the July sun. Well, Marvelline, I just felt like don't complain, Marvelline. It ain't that heavy. You just tote that. You ain't got to tote that bucket of coffee around for too awful long. One, there ain't much in it. I mean, it's pretty light. It's mostly bucket. But you just tote it along. We'll go over to we'll go over and see a few more shows, and then when we go back to the Super 8, you can put down your bucket. But we're going to be ready for the end times, because we're going to have coffee with our pudding. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Would be worth if the sun don't shine. What would it be worth with the power goes out and there's no trucks running and the EMP bomb or whatever they're talking about for these last day events? This 2-gallon bucket, mm-hmm. a packs of coffee.
Yes.
You could trade them for whatsoever you want.
That's it.
You could probably get a new car for one packet of coffee.
Yes, a new car. You know, from time to time, we talk with our good friend Scott out in San Diego, and he'll mention that he's having a fine cup of freeze-dried coffee there. And I'm thinking maybe Scott might be the man to, because he's developed a taste for end times coffee, apparently. Maybe Scott would be the one to test out the bucket coffee for us. I mean, what kind of coffee is it? What's the provenance? Is it Colombian? Is it like Green Mountain Coffee, who advertises that one of their blends comes from Peru and Colombia and Ecuador? And Indonesia and other parts of South America? No, they really do advertise that way. It drives me crazy every time I hear it. Who knows? Is it a Kenyan AA? Is it a Kona? Is it a perhaps at the price that it goes for? Maybe it's freeze-dried packets of Jamaican Blue Mountain, the most expensive coffee on earth. Well, we won't know. Unless maybe Brother Scott takes one for the team. And who knows, he might get a new car out of it because Jim Baker said so. Yes. So just be mindful of the coming apocalypse, brethren and sistren. Be mindful. And remember, you're going to need coffee. Now, for those of you who like your lattes, I don't know what you're going to do for some damn milk. Maybe that's the next phase of the multi-level marketing campaign from Jim Baker. Maybe he's going to provide us with apocalypse moo juice. It could happen. But enough of that. The real thrust of prayer meeting Wednesday today, brethren and sistren, is, well, that's true. Yeah, Marty wants to know, what happens if the giant meteor finally hits? Well, then you're probably going to have, the oceans are going to boil. And I know there are people that like to put a little salt in their coffee, and maybe that's you'll have steam and hot water to. Oh, it's complicated. It's complicated. Well, it's not that coffee's going to. What good will coffee do, Marty? Well, it'll keep you perky during the apocalypse. You don't want to make it all the way to something like the apocalypse when the imp bomb goes off or what that they were talking about there. You don't want to be all sluggish. You want to have all your wits about you so that you can fully appreciate the shitstorm that you are standing in. Uh-huh. Lee in New York says, of course, coffee could be worth as much as a new car. Who would have enough gasoline to go anywhere? It's not so much coffee being as worth as much, but a car being worth as little as a cup of coffee, because they're, I mean, unless it sleeps real good. I mean, maybe you could sort of insulate it and tarp it and cover it up and turn it into a little apocalypse cottage if it was, you know, like a great big, Chevy Suburban or something. But ours is not to question that sort of thing. Ours is to go go boldly forward, and make sure that we've got the coffee clutch of the apocalypse, the doomsday coffee bar. Well, I tell you what, if that's not a new hipster millennialist coffee joint by the time I open the program tomorrow, there's just no justice in the world. Steve in New York, Brother Usher Steve, says, but if there's no electricity, how would we heat the water, Emery? Well, Marveline, that's what your son, because I'm sure he's going to come out with one of these, your son coffee jug is for. You just put your coffee in the water and you set it out in the sun. You like sun tea, don't you? Well, you're going to love sun coffee. And see, the evil forces of the Illuminati are already getting us ready for it, because now they're out there hustling cold brew coffee. Uh-huh. Yeah, what do you think that's about? That's right, teaching us to like coffee without it being hot. Yeah. That's how it works. Meanwhile, Robert in Australia is ahead of the curve. Bucket water? So where does one get all the nice, clean, pure water to add to all your bucket pudding and coffee, too? Well, that's going to be the ultimate multi-level marketing campaign when Jim Baker starts selling empty buckets of instant water. Just set your bucket, of instant water outside, and water will fall from the sky. Amen, amen. Ain't God good? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how are we going to heat the water, says Lee? Global warming. The globe will warm your water. Yes. But now that we've got coffee for the apocalypse, we have to turn to what the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexuals to what they're really focusing on these days. And that too is true. Wait a minute, that's that. Okay, this is science, so it gets a cowbell. Courtesy of Clarity, Clarity notes, hey, radioactive rainwater is pre-warmed. That's right. It might very well melt the cup it's in. Don't use that styrofoam. And who knows? It may not only be pre-warmed, it may be heavy water. Makes for a nice dense cup of mud. You better believe it. But no, what the religion industry is focused on now, they are licking at their chops. Because they know, brethren and sisters, they know that they are right on the cusp of what they think is their fondest wish. Mm-hmm. They, and I'm talking, of course, about about Roe v. Wade. Because, of course, the religion industry in this country, it really doesn't have much to do with the so-called spiritual well-being of anybody. And it has everything to do with imposing their religious worldview on those of us who don't support it. And so it is that they're right worked up about the vacancy in the Supreme Court. But there's a little bit of conflict out there. Back before Brett Kavanaugh's name was announced, the president of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, a guy by the name of Tim Wildman, the son of the founder of the American Family Association, a guy by the name of Don Wildman, he got all worked up and sent out a mass email telling people to oppose the nomination, get this, of Brett Kavanaugh. And he got all upset because he said Judge Kavanaugh is simply the wrong nominee, even a bad nominee. Based on his written opinions, Judge Kavanaugh has demonstrated a deficiency in a constitutional judicial philosophy of a limited judiciary. Some of his decisions may have been favorable, but several of his opinions about those decisions contain problematic language. Although Judge Kavanaugh decided correctly in court case Priests for Life versus U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, he wrote a moderate opinion disagreeing with the priests on a foundational constitutional religious liberty principle. It truly is the end times now, brethren and sistren, when a floor-rolling, snake-handling, tongue-speaking, strychnine-swigging, evangelical fundamentalist like Kavanaugh is speaking fondly of the priests for life. Because it weren't that long ago that his nasty old daddy was a-hollering about what servants of the whore of Babylon they were, and how the whore of Babylon was the Pope at Rome, and how they're not really Christians, them Catholics, and how they worship statues and false idols and shit like that. But now, well, strange bedfellows. Wildman said, as a result of Obamacare, the faith-based organization Priests for Life and others argued that the government could not compel or force them to provide contraception and abortion-causing drugs for their employees. Judge Kavanaugh unnecessarily conceded in his opinion that the government has a compelling interest to force religious organizations to provide contraceptives and abortifacients for employees. Kavanaugh's concession created a dangerous precedent. There are also concerns with his opinion related to illegal alien female minors. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Illegal alien female minors. I didn't even know you could mind females, did you? Who are expecting, but also seeking an abortion in the new 90 states. Other concerns relate to his writings on Obamacare. It's been argued that Judge Kavanaugh provided the roadmap to uphold the Obama administration's health care overreach at the Supreme Court. Judge Kavanaugh is said to provide the legal argument for Chief Justice to save Obamacare by calling the mandatory insurance a tax. Ooh. So they were rallying folks to oppose him. But then their god, Julius Geezer, the orangutan, nominated Brett Kavanaugh. And all of a sudden, all of that I just shared with you, it disappeared off of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi Stand website and was replaced by an action alert that said, AFA has opposed the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court for some very valid reasons. We're deeply concerned about how he might ultimately rule on issues related to abortion or religious liberty. For these reasons, we consider this nomination to represent a 4-star appointment when it could have been a 5-star. There wasn't nothing about 4 stars up there that was opposed this sumbitch. However, after hearing the concerns of some of our supporters, that means people wrote in and said, I'm never giving you fuckers another dime. He loves breast. He loves the little fetuses. Brett Kavanaugh does. Loves them. Just loves them. And he's gonna take away the slut medicine from them women's and make sure that they stay in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant, just like my Marvelline. Mm-hmm. However, after hearing the concerns of some of our supporters and after hearing the passionate defense of Judge Kavanaugh by many we consider to be friends within the pro-life movement, who incidentally have remained as silent as a graven fucking image about kidnapped children down at the border that the government done lost and probably won't ever be able to put back together with their families, we are willing to let this process play out. Well, how nice of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi Stand. We eagerly await the confirmation hearings when we hope to get clarification from Judge Kavanaugh on aspects related to our concerns. At this time, we have no plans to fight President Trump on this nomination. He has appointed a lot of good federal judges already, and we look forward to many more. We hope that our concerns prove to be unfounded. Mm-hmm. So please, don't not send us money anymore. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Well, it may be, sure. It may be, maybe Tim Wildman maybe his mind is at ease. But you know whose mind is not at ease? Jesse Lee Peterson. Mm-hmm. You remember last time we checked in with Jesse Lee? He was interviewing somebody in a room full of bottles of bourbon, some of which looked like they might have been empty. And Jesse Lee, from time to time when we do check in on him, sounds like he's about, half in the bag. Well, Jesse Lee is, in fact, concerned about Brett Kavanaugh. Not necessarily directly over the precious little fetuses, but about what kind of man Brett Kavanaugh is and whether he's a manly man or one of them sissy girly men.
So my thing with Brett Kavanaugh, and you know, I trust the president, so I'm waiting to see. He has not.
Yeah, he trusts the president. He believes in the president. Praise to the president twice a day. Yeah, but he's got a thing with he's got a thing. Because he said it, my thing with Brett Brett Kavanaugh. Maybe he's got that same problem Donald Trump described about having no organ or something. I don't know.
Been wrong yet about anything? So I trust him. So I'm waiting to see. But
Whoa, wait. We missed a gem. You know what? It may be necessary that we get the hockey puck and the duct tape out, brethren and sistren. Donald Trump has not been wrong yet about anything.
He has not been wrong yet about anything?
How about that? Not wrong yet about anything. Not even about Frederick Douglass being alive. Hadn't been wrong. Because, you know, Frederick Douglass up in Michigan living with Elvis and Jim Morrison. Yeah. Hadn't been wrong yet about all them repatriated veteran bones coming from North Korea that, of course, haven't. I think wasn't wrong about that. No, wasn't wrong. Wasn't wrong. Wasn't wrong when he said that he wanted to, back when she was still alive, of course. I mean, I hope Donald Trump draws the line at necrophilia. It's such a dead act. It wasn't wrong back when he said he wanted to bang Princess Di. Hadn't been wrong about anything yet. Nope.
So I trust him, so I'm waiting to see. But when Brett gave his speech last night, acceptance speech, I think that's what you call it, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I was concerned after the speech. Number one, I don't like the fact that Mitch McConnell.
Yep, back in the bourbon again. Mitch. Everybody loves the stork. Yes. Mm-hmm. Professional broadcasting. It's a bridge too far for me.
And Lindsey Graham, Paul Ryan, and all those guys were for this guy. Because they have never been for anything that was strong and right and good.
All right.
That's why we don't have a wall around the borders already.
Yeah. By the way, whoever it is that fronts Jesse Lee's program has decided that he needs a sidekick. So now he's got some odd hipster millennial dude. Whose job is to say what did he say there?
All right.
That's why we don't have.
All right. Yeah. Dude. Uh huh. On the payroll.
I have a wall around the borders already. And nothing was getting done while they were there because those are rhino cowards, right? And so, because
those are what? Was that some authentic frontier gibberish we heard there?
And nothing was getting done while they were there because those are rhino cowards, right? And so...
I got nothing. A rhino cowards? Oh, those are rhino cowards. Republican in name only. Right, okay. Because you're not a real Republican in Jesse Lee Peterson's world. Unless you're, you know, sitting there at your desk at this in the well of the Senate, picking your teeth with your toenail clippings.
I'm concerned about that, but I trust the Great White Hope. He knows what he's doing. And then secondly, after Brett gave his speech.
This is video. And, of course, we're doing radio here. But I got to tell you, I'm examining the video real closely. Like, I see his microphone boom, and apparently he uses the Electro Voice RE20 just like most professional broadcasters do. I've got an Electro Voice RE20, but, I don't get on air with a with a half a fifth of old Panther piss under my belt, so I guess I can't be a professional like Jesse Lee Peterson. Yeah, I know. It gets complicated, Philip. It really does. Philip just said, if Jesus can forgive all the sins, then why not just let the heathens have their abortions and let God sort them out? I thought God was love, y'all. Well, God is love, y'all. Absolutely. But what about the precious little fetuses? I mean, they haven't gotten to go out and sin and hate people and commit mayhem and sodomy and adultery and become president of the United States or anything. So what fun is it for Jesus to forgive the fetuses that ain't done nothing? They just get stuck in a little recycle loop. Up to heaven, down to earth, get aborted, back to heaven, sit around, wait to go back down to earth, get aborted some more, back up to heaven, down to earth, get aborted. Hey, what kind of life is that for a soul, I ask you? Yeah. Daggum it. So, you got to pay attention here.
After Brett gave his speech, during his speech, it was all about his mama.
Oh, really?
He always loved his mama.
I thought we was always supposed to always love our mama. Don't say nothing about mama. I mean, that's one of the first rules of Southerners. Don't say nothing about mama. I love my mama. Mama was the best human being ever lived on the earth, mama. I mean, their holy book says, honor thy father and thy mama, right? That thy days may be long upon the earth. But now it's a problem for Jesse Lee Peterson because he's talking about his mama.
It was all about the impact that his mother had on his life while he was growing up, how she influenced him.
Well, you know, but of course it is, because she wasn't one of them demon-crat women what goes out and has abortions every day of the week just because the abortions is so much goddamn fun to have. I mean, see, that's the secret. They don't tell you. The evangelicals know. But the rest of us don't. See, they go in, the demon slut women that just fucks like bunnies, just specifically so they can get pregnant and go get them an abortion. They go in there and, you know, they're usually not terribly impressive looking buildings or anything. But when you get through the secret doors and you've given the high sign and the password, it's totally different inside. And there's ferns. And brass rails and lovely little card tables and cucumber sandwiches and high tea and everybody just sits around talking about how much fun it is having abortions. And sometimes women come out and yeah, I just had one, but I'm just gonna sit around here and see if I can go get me another one. Boy, I tell you what, it is more fun than a barrel of monkeys. It is.
Even though he was raised by his father, too. And he gave this big old long speech about his mother. And then right at the end, he said, oh, yeah, I love my daddy, too. Hi, Dad. My daddy.
Somebody's got some daddy issues, right?
It was a worker. And so that concerns me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jesse. Brother Jesse. I hate to break it to you, but we've been listening to your clips for a while now, brother. I don't know who your mama and daddy were, and I'm not saying they're bad people. Sometimes it don't matter how hard you try. It just don't work out with your offspring. But the fact of the matter is, you're sort of prima facie evidence that you had terrible parents. Because you're, you know, you. You gotta do it. Most times, you gotta do a pretty horrible job being mama and daddy for somebody to wind up Jesse Lee Peterson.
He is a mama's boy.
He looks like it a little bit.
Yeah, he's a mama's boy. And then the other thing is, he has no boys. He has only girls.
Well, uh-oh. He has only girls? What kind of eldritch wizardry is his witch of a wife doing to keep him from having a son? You know, a son like Mr. and Mrs. Peterson had Jesse Lee. And him a mama's boy.
Yeah. And real men make boys first.
Really? Son of a gun. Well, dadgummit, I guess I'm going to have to box up all my flannel shirts and blue jeans and heavy work boots and turn in my real man card, because we didn't have a boy till we'd tried a couple of times. And I guess that means I'm not a real man. Yeah. Of course, then again, I think Fred Trump... Well, no, Fred Trump had boys first, see? Fred Trump, member of the Klan. Fred Trump, who would have gladly strung old Jesse Lee right up. Fred Trump had boys first. Fred Trump was a real Klan man. You know it. Mm-hmm. Look at it there. George W. Bush, didn't have nothing but girls. Twin girls, just one shot. Not a real man. And then there's Bill Clinton, Chelsea. And then there's Jimmy Carter, Amy. But Richard Nixon, nothing but girls. My gracious sakes alive. It all becomes clear now. Yeah, see, there's a whole... See, that's the problem with America. There's a whole lot of not real men out there. Marty says, damn, I guess my brother isn't a real man. His first child is my beautiful niece. Want to see a picture? Well, sure. But... Oh, God damn it. I can't. What kind of Cuisance Haderach motherfucker is Jesse Peterson? That he's sitting there grunting away over Mrs. Peterson going, shooting Y chromosomes, shooting Y, shooting Y, shooting Y. Yeah, them's all Y chromosomes, honey. Lay back and think of England. Meanwhile, Mrs. Peterson's laying there going, beige, I'll paint the ceiling beige. Yeah, that's right, that's right. All them low-T presnets. You're right there. You are absolutely right there, right there, Clarity. And that's right, Brother Usher Steve, pointing out that Obama had Kenyan girls. Dope-smoking Kenyan girls, yes. Or at least girl. God only knows what she's got up to the Harvard now. You know, Todd, I'm tempted to say that given the way you just typed that, you should probably call in and do it live, because it could be a great moment in horn history. Todd doesn't just write in all caps very often. Stop! Please stop. Not all caps. You're killing me, says Todd. And then he types, goes back to the all caps again, Todd does, and says, "Do Peterson have Everclear-infused cotton balls in his drunk-ass mouth?" I'm just reading it like it were written here. But you know that's going to stick, right? Assuming that this vile little fascist gets confirmed to the Supreme Court, he will be forever, and it would be good if we could get this viral. He will be forever referred to as Brett Mama's Boy Kavanaugh. Yeah. Lee noting the subject line, baby's gender. When my wife was pregnant with our first child, people had awful questions and I had awful answers. Do you want a boy or a girl? Yes. What sex do you want the child to be? The child is too young for sex. Thank you, Lee. That's high quality. And, of course, all of this business about that, well, it reminds me of the story of the three pregnant women sitting at the obstetrician's. And they're all there for the big reveal. They're going to find out what they're having. And first woman goes in, comes out, she's all beaming. And she says, "Well, the doctor explained to me that since my husband was on top, I'm going to have a boy." Second woman goes in, comes out, she's happy as a clam. "The doctor explained to me that since I was on top, we're going to have a girl." Third woman goes in, comes out, bawling, just crying. "And, well, honey, what's wrong? I'm going to have puppies." Yeah.
And I noticed that most men are not real men anymore, and they're making girls.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know what? Most men are out there making girls now. I hate to break it to Jesse Lee, but the planet can get on just fine with a relatively low number of males and a whole bunch more females. Because, well, I mean, it's like bees. The drones that do nothing, just hang around in the hive, wearing their little honeybee boxer shorts, scratching themselves. Oh, it tickled me sometimes. Honey, see what I did there, honey? Bees, honey. Honey, get me another mead. You see, mead is fermented honey. It's the beer of the bee world. Yeah. Bring me a royal jelly sandwich. I think I'm going to go and get it on with the queen tonight. And the women do all the work. The females do all the work in the beehive. Well, I think that... Let's call him Juicy Peterson, says Clarity. Oh, God. I from time to time, I'll save a story. Just because something in my tiny tormented mind tells me that it's going to come in handy at some point. And there it is. From Discover Magazine, testosterone makes men want fancy stuff. Yeah, but, well, before we go there, though. There are ancient, and look, if you're male, it's disturbing. But there are ancient rituals that are said to have taken place in which a symbolic king was allowed to be king for a year and got to do pretty much anything he wanted to. and had all the sex he could stand to have with just about anybody he wanted to have it with. And the women folk kept him in the dark, because come spring planting time the next year, well, let's just say that the seeds wasn't all that got planted. So too did the king. And the idea of a man shedding his blood for the good of the tribe or the group or whatever has got a long history in human behavior. And that's because men are largely expendable. Why do you think men get sent out to war? Because you can get along without them. And if you get to the point where you got too many of them, you ain't going to have nothing but trouble. See how it works? Jesse Lee, I'm sure, can't even spell anthropology, let alone study it. Men making nothing but girls. Girls. And what happens if there aren't any men? Then the girls have to... Oh, wait a minute, I'll be back. I got to go to the restroom. Ron, meanwhile, in Raleigh, says, wait a minute. So Jesse Lee has a hype man? These are some of the most incredibly stupid people breathing. Yeah, he's got a... But he ain't much of a hype man. I mean, he's not even good for a yeah! Or a, that's right. Mm-mm. No. He just said, uh-huh, yeah. I mean, you heard him. Not much of a hype man. But no, just a minute. Like I said, Discover Magazine. Science for the curious. Nature Communications has a report of a new study from a team of scientists who worked with a group of more than 240 men. In that group, 120 of them got an injection of testosterone gel. The other half got a placebo gel. Then they showed all the men pictures. They showed them name brands like H&M and Lacoste and products from those brands, jeans, watches, shirts, that kind of thing. Well, it turns out the men who got the extra testosterone bump had a preference for the fancier brands and the stuff that they make. And they tried to control for it by saying, yeah, but this here's a shirt that's not, and it's every bit as good. Well, I like the one with the alligator on it. It's apparently the first time anybody tried to find an effect between testosterone and flashy consumer behavior. But it's kind of interesting. The authors claim that the study is a link between animal studies and consumer research, because this kind of behavior has been proven in the animal world. We're animals too, but the non-human world. Big old antlers on a deer, the plumage of a peacock, the way he waves it around, and yeah. And apparently that makes the peahen a little more turned on. Well, I didn't see any polo players or alligators on Jesse Lee Peterson's shirt there, so maybe he's another one of them low tees, and he's just trying to, you know, pass. Yeah? But they're all head up. The evangelical fundamentalists are about this Supreme Court nomination. Because they see their opening. They see their opportunity. This is a chance to drag our country back to what they perceive as a more righteous time. You know, when men had absolute dominion over women. Go after Roe, you get Roe, that means you've taken out Griswold. That means the right to privacy's gone. And pretty soon, and don't think they're going to stop there. The fight over a woman's reproductive choice and the right to privacy is not the fight. The fight is over absolute religious control of society. That is not to in any wise diminish the importance of a woman's right to choose. But the right to choose and the right to privacy are aspects of society uncontrolled by religion. And we're talking here about a yearning for theocracy. About and they're not shy about it. If you ask the right ones, they'll tell you. The dominionists and the Christian Reconstructionists, and their tentacles by now, as long as they've been at it, their tentacles run deep into most of the mainline Protestant and some Catholic institutions. Donald Trump was never going to pick a woman to fill that Supreme Court seat. But that, what's her name? Amy, was it, I don't know, Tony Bennett, Barrett, whatever. She became famous briefly for her participation in a cult, which, until they recently figured out what a marketing nightmare it was for them, referred to the women in the cult as, wait for it, handmaids. No shit. And believes in all that male domination of the family, yada, 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 submissive women, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. The goal, and guys, you might want to pay attention to this. They're not going to stop with keeping women from getting the pill or being able to terminate a pregnancy for whatever reason. Coming for the condoms, too. So, you know, once the pill's gone, and once all the other female contraceptive options are gone, well, they're going to get the condoms, too. And sure, maybe you don't want a family of 16 like great-great-great-grandpa Hezekiah and great-great-great-great-grandma Mayella. But the religion industry wants you to. Because if we can just overpopulate the fuck out of this planet, not like we already haven't, that's more money for them, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. That's why women's reproductive choice is such a big damn deal. Because it represents, if they can overturn it, it represents the beginning of the end of freedom. Not just women's freedom, everybody's. I mean, Jesus, what are we going to do when the theocracy gets here and they we got to have a literal interpretation of the Bible and like something out of Fahrenheit 451, We've got firemen who run around burning down Red Lobsters and Captain D's and Long John Silver's, you know, because they serve shellfish. Shit's clearly banned in the Bible. Meanwhile, with a salient clip from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Lee reminds us, far back in the mists of ancient time, in the great and glorious days of the former Galactic Empire, life was wild, rich, and largely tax-free. Mighty starships plied their way between exotic suns, seeking adventure and reward amongst the furthest reaches of galactic space. In those days, spirits were brave, the stakes were high, men were real men, women were real women, and small furry creatures from Alpha Centauri were real small furry creatures from Alpha Centauri, and all dared to brave unknown terrors, to do mighty deeds, to boldly split infinitives that no man had split before. And thus was the Empire formed. But just as I explained moments ago that the struggle over women's reproductive choice is really a struggle over freedom at all, well, Coach Dave Daubenmeyer, he doesn't exactly see it that way, no. Because he knows the leftist, liberal, progressives for what they are.
Why are they so upset about abortion? Why does that matter so much to the left? If you watch the show regularly, I hope you remember that the left is not the liberals. It's not the Democrats. The left is the Christ-hating left, the Christless left.
See? He's willing to cut you a pass for being a Democrat. He'll cut you some slack for being liberal. But if you ain't got Jesus, you're the problem.
Why are they so interested about death? Why do they want so much? The most important right that they're ever going to have, the right for a woman to be able to murder her unborn baby.
Well, I don't know what he puts on his Wheaties, but I mean...
That's the basis of their power, brother.
Yeah, okay. God damn it. Everybody's got a hype man now. Anybody want to be my hype man? I'll just set up a separate account, and we'll just bring you on, and I'll leave your mic open, and you just do your hype man thing, and I'll keep talking, okay?
That's the basis of their power, and we're choking it off, and that's why they're going insane.
Explain that, Vinny. What do you mean that's the basis of their power?
Okay, so this is going to get a little disturbing. Yeah, these people are Satanists. What they do is they sacrifice children, and they use the children's blood for their drug adrenochrome.
No, goddammit, we put it on our Wheaties. Get it straight, bub.
In an abortion, when they torture little children, it doesn't matter who it is.
And notice this guy's all worked up about little children being tortured. Children who, of course, aren't children. Who can't conceive torture. But meanwhile, if you tuned in to Coach Dave Daubenmeyer every time that he turned on his camera, you would never hear him say a kind word about kidnapped children at the southern border of the United States and the fact that crimes against humanity have been committed against them and their parents. You wouldn't hear a goddamn word about it. Not from this miserable fuck. Because his mercy is reserved for the children that exist in his imagination.
You've all had it. When something scary or something threatening hits you, you get this rush of adrenaline. And the purpose of the rush of adrenaline is probably a self-preservation thing to make you ready to do whatever it is you have to do, that adrenaline rush. And after you've had it and you sat down and
whoo, you feel that over you. And here's what they theorize goes on. Not only an abortion, but in any type of sacrifice, especially child sacrifice. That imagine a little baby in the womb.
Now, while we're imagining the little baby in the womb, let's take a moment here and understand from an anthropological and historical standpoint where this idea of using the blood of babies for some ulterior purpose comes from. And I'm absolutely serious about this. In the rise of Christianity, and we can talk about this because this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Eventually, Christianity goes from being a localized subcult of Judaism, which was known simply as the Way, after the crucifixion, assuming that it happened. Jesus' brother, James, took over and continued to preach this idea of let's not be quite so shitty to each other. And they threw him off the walls of Jerusalem for it. Ascribed to him is the book of James in the Old Testament, which is tucked way the hell back there where most people don't even read it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then they get into the insane shit from Paul, and they never bother with James. But it's in James that we hear that faith without works is dead. That it don't matter how much you believe, if you're not out there doing the Jesus stuff, if you're not out there taking care of the little ones, if you're not out there visiting people in prison, if you're not out there clothing the naked and feeding the hungry and doing your best to heal the sick, bear in mind back then there wasn't much you could do to heal the sick. But you could at least sit with them and hold their hand in their agony. And there is some love in that. But James says, if you're not doing those things, fuck your faith. Your faith is meaningless. It's dead. And that's pretty much what the whole book's, the book of James is about. Let's be a little better to each other. And we have reporting that, yeah, he was, they killed the shit out of him. But eventually, Christianity expands beyond the borders of Palestine. And it begins to be assimilated into Greek culture. Both on the Asian side and on the European side. And it gets mixed up along the way with some of your Greek deities, and it makes its way to Rome. And there was already in Rome, from quite a time before, a substantial colony of Jews. And they got along okay. There's not a lot of evidence of Jews being persecuted in ancient Rome. Don't run afoul of the emperor, you're okay. Don't run afoul of the republic before that. Pretty much okay. But with the rise of institutional Christianity comes the idea, once the early church fathers start reading and understand the Bible, as the New Testament as we understand the New Testament, wasn't really established in one unit for quite some time. So some people were reading this, and some people were reading that, and some people were saying, well, no, that's a heresy, and the other people were saying, die, heretic, and no, it's not, yes, it is, oh, I'll kill you, yeah, in the name of Jesus, Prince of Peace. He's got his love, y'all. But along the way, when the existential battle over what Christianity would be either on the one hand, a modeling of the life of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life. Are, you know, there were those who wanted to model their lives on his life. But then there was another group who said, no, and Paul was part of it, no, you've got it all wrong. His life wasn't for shit. It's how he died. It's the death part that matters. And in that existential struggle, the death cult won. And so institutional Christianity going forward became a death cult. And it is a death cult to this day. And as part of the death cult, they revered, they worshipped the death of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life. And they began to wonder, and they began to study and fixate upon the death, because it's really gory and gruesome. Crucifixion. One cross only, line on the left. And then they began to feel sorry for Jesus, even though he had to do it so he could die for their sins. And they said, well, wait a minute. How come he had to die? And then some wise ass in Smyrna or Athens or Rome or Alexandria said, because Jews. And out of that arose the idea that the Jews killed Christ, because by then, well, Christ wasn't a Jew anymore. And I apologize if this is upsetting to anybody, especially my friends who are Jewish by religion or heritage or whatever. Because this has got to be painful, because it's a very real history of torment and torture and misery and agony that has been going on for 2,000 years. And so from the moment that the Jews killed Christ business starts, every so often, a bunch of Christians would decide it was time to just work a little retribution. Hey, remember how y'all killed Christ? Whack! Or, you know, murder an entire village, rape the women, etc. A word developed for these things. They were called, in one language, a pogrom. The systematic torment and torturing of Jews. And as this practice grew and evolved, there were aspects of it that got legs too. One of which was called the blood libel. Many of you may already know about this. The blood libel said that, for instance, Jews would kidnap little white Christian babies and murder them and drain them of their blood and use their blood to make their bread. In particular, matzah. Because you know how matzah has that sort of rusty red tinge color to it? Basically, it's a saltine without the salt. Yeah. You know, never mind the effect of the oven creating that toasty, reddish, rusty brown color. We're talking about people who had nothing in the way of science and everything in the way of hatred and bigotry. You know, because they were Christians. Because God is love, y'all. And the blood libel proved to be tenacious. And it never really went away. The blood libel was a going concern during the Holocaust. And every now and then it reshapes itself and reforms itself. And there are a couple of places where you can see anti-Semitism being repackaged for a modern era. One of them is when you hear anyone, and it happens a lot in the so-called progressive left, and it happens a lot in the so-called far right. You hear people talking about the international banking conspiracy. Anytime you hear the Rothschilds, for certain people, that's a dog whistle for the old allegation that a secret cabal of Jews controls all the real money. Okay? But another place where that repurposed, repackaged anti-Semitism arises is in Pizzagate. Now, who helped promulgate Pizzagate? Russia. You ever heard of something called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion? You can look it up. It's still passed around among various and sundry fascist and proto-fascist and other right-wing groups. It's a document that purports to be a secret report from the elders, the learned elders of Zion, talking about how they're going to consolidate their control of the entire world. Okay? Well, that was originally produced by the Tsar's secret police in the latter portion, I think, of the 19th century. And it took off like a house of fire. Like I said, it's still going around today. Well, who helped turn Pizzagate into a thing? Uh-oh. Yeah, I know. Snuggly, huggly, cuddly, pooty poot. Who just loves everybody. Pizzagate. And Pizzagate has within it allegations of people consuming the blood of stolen infants. And you just heard it moments ago, coming out of the mouth of Dave Daubenmeyer, using it as an argument against a woman's right to control the workings of her own body. Dave Daubenmeyer is promoting, and many of these other many of these other abortion loonies, fetus fetishists, are keeping alive an ancient anti-Semitism for a day when it can finally pull the mask off and come back out into the open for a renewed attack on Jewish people. The entire pre-post-dispensational millennialist bullshit movement has at its core a day when Jesus returns and gets to tell his followers that it's okay to kill Jews who won't confess that he's God Almighty. A brand new Holocaust! And many there are who do not take this seriously. But just because people don't, and you know, the Israelis don't take it seriously. They'll snuggle up, the Israeli government will snuggle up with any millennialist Christian weirdo that comes along, as long as they'll say nice things about Israel. And they're more than happy to. You know, until Bibi refuses, you know, with Jesus standing right there to admit that Jesus Christ is, you know, God. Now, that's when Bibi gets gigged like a frog. Or whoever is in Bibi's position at that point in time. We make a lot of fun of the Dave Dobenmeyers of the world. But underneath the fun, underneath what appears to be the silliness and the idiocy and the stupidity and the paranoia and the religious intolerance and the theocratic impulses is the beating heart of an ancient hatred. And they count on people not knowing about the relationship between this Pizzagate bullshit and talking about un-Christians out there drinking baby blood. They count on people not knowing about that to help them promulgate it.
And a poker starts coming and grabbing his leg. There could be an adrenaline rush inside that little baby. Or you imagine a little child, a little 3-year-old or 4-year-old or 5-year-old or 10, I don't care what it is. Child that's kidnapped and trafficked and tortured and brought almost to the point of death.
Yeah, unless it's being done by the Trump regime, and then it's not.
And when they're brought to the point of death, then they're killed. And then there's adrenaline produced inside the blood. Now, wait a minute.
Adrenaline's not produced inside the blood, you fucking idiot. It's produced in the adrenal gland. Jesus.
I know this is ultimate tinfoil hat. I know this is. But can somebody explain to me why the left wants to kill babies?
Yeah. See, the left doesn't want to kill babies. And this fucker doesn't give a shit what's happening to babies down on the border. Whew. Yep, Brother Steve knew. Brother Steve saw where I was going, heard where I was going. But no, Steve, it wasn't. It wasn't hyperbole. Okay, we've got an audition to be my hype man. Clarence says, here's my hype line. You betcha, Bob. All right, auditions are open. Clarence is on the board. Rothschild's auf Deutsch is Rothschild, which means red shield. Any connection there? Hard to tell. Flavio, I'm not quite sure I understand, but Flavio says, wonders never cease. I learned a new meaning of generosity today. Holy shit! Courtesy of Lee, an obligatory Star Trek reference. Hey, Bob. Uncontrolled population growth. That makes me think of the episode Mark of Gideon. Good health, longevity, the desire to naturally procreate led to a population disaster. They needed Kirk to reintroduce deadly disease. Oh, you know, they weren't slouches right in those episodes. Wait a minute. I think we've got a hype audition coming from Clarity. You're so right on, Bob. Ooh. Yeah, meanwhile, Jason says, we're at war with these fake Christian death cult freaks. And any lib that doesn't recognize it at this point is a damned fool. I'm hard-pressed to disagree. Alexander says, the hype man thing of the religious industry just proves that what I previously stated. God and Christ don't need any hyping. They're bad and almighty on their own. But again, religion is not about them. Ooh, a little vocal fry and I got it, says Clarity. Hey, it ain't on me. You're the one... You're the one going to be... You're auditioning to be the hype gal. I mean, it's a hype man. What's the female... What's the... Gal just seems wrong. Hype babe? No. Hype chick? No. We could degender it and call it hyper, but that's got a different meaning. We'll have to work on it. meanwhile, I guess we're getting an audition in from Ron, ordinarily of the far frozen north, but recently traversing some of the finer tracks of southern West Virginia. Another hype line that would be great, Bob, depending on context. Oh, for Christ's sake, Bob, where do you find this stuff? It's kind of... I mean, that kind of violates the hype man rule. It's got to be short. It's got to be catchy. You know, it's, yeah, or that's it, Bob. You go, Bob. You know, tell him, Bob. See, that's a good one. Lee, auditioning. The only person with great food while cussing and discussing. Maybe we can just work up some new imaging for the program. Steve suggesting the female equivalent, the hype vanna. A hype vanna. Lee suggesting hype person. When we pull together the great minds of the Horn Family Community Congregation, anything can happen. James in Illinois says hypette. That's kind of got a... That almost sounds French. Well, no, Ron, we can't use Bob, because other Ron, who's a member, you know, remember, y'all are a member of the colony of Ron, after you've been at this for a year or so, you can be admitted to full fraternity status. We need to be hearing from multiple Rons. Speaking of Rons, Ron in Raleigh says, right on, Bob! Hype man audition. And Ron reminds us, when the right to privacy goes away, any personal choice goes away with it. Gay rights, interracial marriage, what color to paint your house, what religion to be. See, a lack of a right to privacy was at the heart of the Inquisition. We may have a winner here. Steve in New York says the female hype person would be the hypress. High priestess, the hypress. I like that. Okay, let's see who's on the phone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. Matt from up in Humboldt.
The minute I heard your voice, Matt.
Okay, and I just sent another subscription your way.
Well, I saw that, and I appreciate it. I wondered if that was a mistake or something.
No, I wasn't sure how... I came in a little late, so I wasn't sure. I know you were down quite a bit.
Yeah, we got... thanks to VT Blom in the chat room, we got down to... 440. VT Blom took care of the 350, because we know how it is with me and odd numbers and change. And then you took us. We're at 430. So thank you.
Okay, no problem. And that'll be in addition to the Patreon.
Well, I do appreciate it. I really, really do, Matt.
All right.
How are you holding up?
Well, on a lighter note.
Yes, please.
This is really getting kind of giving me the heebie-jeebies here. I came in right at the start of old Jesse Lee.
You poor man.
And I'm a little offended because...
Did I offend you?
I've noticed... No, he did.
Oh, okay. That's...
Because I've noticed that the price of my maker's mark has gone up. He's hogging it all.
I don't know. I'm from the sound of it, I think they deliver it by the barrel.
Maybe so.
They don't even fool with dipping anything in wax there at the distillery. They just bring it by the barrel and stick a straw in it for him. I swear, I'm convinced. I'm convinced the swirly straw is just off camera, man.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe so, because I was thinking he was hoarding the stuff.
Well, I have a feeling there's going to be an excess of it now that the tariffs are kicking in Trump's stupid little trade war. The price of bourbon's going to go through the roof in Europe and Canada and Mexico and, well, you know, everywhere that's not America.
Okay. Well, yeah, well, I enjoy some shot of Maker's Mark.
Well, but you actually raise an issue, Matthew, that's got more depth to it than may at first appear, because you have to remember, we think Maker's Mark and we think horses running across the rolling hills of the bluegrass and the water filtering over thousands of years through the limestone rock formations there of central Kentucky and yada yada yada. And we think of some master craftsman, bourbon distiller and taster and working up the... Maker's Mark is owned by Suntory Brands of Tokyo, Japan.
I'll be dipped.
So's Jim Beam.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Beam. Donald Trump is putting... has caused a tariff to be put on... A brand made of liquor made in Kentucky that's owned by a company in Tokyo.
Son of a bitch. Now I don't know what to think. I don't know if you're trying to make me feel guilty for...
Well, no.
Maker's
I'm not.
Mark
no, or... no, no. I mean, God knows I've swilled my fair share of Maker's Mark. It's not... It beats the living daylights out of wild turkey. That's for certain.
Yeah, I used to. Yeah, certainly beats the hell out of Jim Beam. I used to have that stuff in college. And
that's tailgating whiskey.
Yeah.
You buy a 1.75. Go ahead.
Makes your head hurt next day, too.
Well, I have yet to find the liquor that if you consume enough of it, will not. But, the Jim Beam, you buy a 1.75 of that on the liquor store on the way to Mountaineer Field on game day Saturday, and you set up your tailgate in the blue lot there, and you get everything going, and you pull that thing out, and you screw the white plastic cap of the 1.75 of Jim Beam off, and you throw it away, and say, well, we ain't going to need that no more. And you take your big swaller and you pass it to your Mountaineer faithful friend next to you, and he takes a swaller, and you never see it again. That's what that's for. It just makes its way around the parking lot, and somebody goes and drops the empty in the trash.
I see. Then somebody goes out and buys another one?
No, if somebody's got another one, they'll pull, then, you know, because it's game day whiskey, okay? It's not the kind of whiskey where you're sitting in an oak-paneled library with your corduroy jacket with the leather elbow patches on and a pipe hanging out of your mouth smoking the old Virginia Burley cherry cognac, applewood, whatever. It ain't...
Yeah.
No, then somebody else whips out a 1.75 of Evan Williams, and pulls and takes the top off that and says, "We don't need that anymore," and takes a big swaller and passes it to you, and you take a big swaller and pass it on to another member of the Mountaineer faithful. And then it's never seen again.
So, and rinse, lather, rinse, repeat.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it gets real communal there in the blue lot in front of Milan Puskar Stadium at Mountaineer Field. You have to say it that way. Puskar, Milan paid the right, paid for the rights to have it said that way.
I see.
Yeah, no shit. That's a little off topic, Matthew, but it's a fact that the field where the Mountaineers play football is named after the manufacturer of opioids that have burned up most of this state. No shit.
Jesus. Oh, my. What a world.
Well, I'm in deep shit with Les. Les just sent me note, Matthew. God damn it, Bob. First you ruined Kingsford Charcoal and now Maker's Mark. You're not leaving me anything.
Oh, dear.
Wait till I tell you about your bacon.
There you go. There you go. Well, don't ruin that. Just try not to ruin that. And we know you won't. We know you won't ruin Kaneka sausage.
No. So, thus far, I have not found them being owned by the People's Republic of China or a Japanese sausage consortium or anything like that. No. Kaneka.
No.
I got to acknowledge reality. It's Evergreen, Alabama. They probably, every last one of them, voted for Trump, and some of them twice even. But when people do things right, you got to acknowledge it one way or the other. And
right.
My politics ends at the beginning of the pig's snout.
There you go. Learned that lesson about a week ago when me and my mom and dad went to Texas to visit kin folks. Maggots all.
Of course.
Or most likely, at least especially in the places where we lived. And so I was, normally I'm able to, you know, just kind of compartmentalize that kind of stuff and, you know, go ahead and enjoy the trip and everything. Because they were loyal Bushies too, and eventually I got to where I was able to kind of, you know, I was able to put that aside, but man, at the rate Trump and company are going, I just have my patience with these people is just wearing thin, and I had a harder time this time keeping it together.
Well, nobody, I don't know if really you're—I don't know if you were listening the other night when Scary Jerry called in, but there's a lot of us having a hard time keeping it together. So at least we got all we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it.
There you go. Nobody talked, did anything in Texas, explicitly ballyhooing Trump or anything like that. But on one side, I live in a town that's got they go to this Baptist church that's got a preacher that's, as far as I'm concerned, a damn near Jim Jones quality.
Well, Baptist ministers can be like that.
And somebody like that gets control, of the town of a couple of thousand people, bad things happen. I mean, look at Jim Jones.
No, well, right, yeah, but see that inherent in the nature of religion because it's an authoritarian structure in which you cannot question the person who is delivering the received wisdom. Because right. then because if you start being able to question what's coming from the pulpit, then the entire structure comes down.
Mm-hmm.
And then where are the Gulfstream Fives and the yachts and the Maybachs going to come from? If you got people questioning the authority that the minister has derived from Almighty God. Oh, by the way, so you and Les can both feel a little bit better. You can move over to Woodford Reserve.
Woodford Reserve?
Yes.
Okay.
It is, after all, the official bourbon of the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, okay.
And they are not, they're owned by a company called Brown-Forman, which I don't think is owned by any international
China
consortiums.
Right. China or Japan or anything like that.
Right. It's kind of like when I mentioned the Budweiser Freedom Lager, Freedom Reserve Lager.
Oh.
With extra freedom because it's made from George Washington's recipe. Hoo-ah. Well,
yuck.
It turns out, you know, Budweiser's not even an American company anymore. It's owned by InBev, which is a combination Brazilian-Belgian affair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how come we wound up with Stella Artois all over the place now.
Yeah.
Not to say Stella's a bad beer. It's not.
It's halfway decent, but Budweiser's not.
Oh no. And the thing is,
no offense to Georgia Steve, but
well, he'll appreciate you saying that.
We gotta get him up to speed, man.
Yeah, I gotta get together and maybe even take one for the team and just and have a beer with Steve so Steve can we gotta work on Steve's beer palate.
Wait a minute.
Okay, I gotta award a cowbell real quick, Matthew. Stand by. Silent R. Lamar says, I agree, Jim Beam is tailgating liquor. Yes, I got a lot of tail when I drank Jim Beam.
Unfortunately, I didn't, so.
Well, it kind of depends on how things work, you know.
How things work out, yeah.
Right, I mean, I put a lot of really good lines on lampposts and said, hi, baby, what are you doing?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. I bet you at the football field, is there any Boone's Farm? Passed around.
Boone's Farm's gone now.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen Boone's Farm in eons or any Green Springs. No, it's all been replaced by that bootlegger junk that you can buy there, you know, in pint, hip flask pint bottles back behind the counter of the Rippy Mart.
Yeah, well, huh. Well, but, of course, this was 25 years ago, I guess. There was one year when I was in college, there was a group of us, I had, a deck of Braille playing cards, and...
Well, you talk about an unfair advantage.
No.
Oh, they were printed too?
They were printed too.
Yeah, well.
They're just like regular cards, they just had Braille on them, Braille symbols on them so he could identify them.
So like the Braille for A and J and K and Q and K and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10?
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, A for Ace, Q for Queen,
yeah, that's what
K
I
for King,
yeah.
And then, S for Spade, H for Heart, D for Diamonds, C for clubs.
Okay, yeah.
So an AH would be an ace of hearts. So I had those, and we would, there'd be four or five of us in one of the dorm rooms. We'd play poker, and usually we had a big old jug at Boone's Farm.
Oh, minis or Mad Dog 20, Mad Dog 2020 spritzers, half Mad Dog, ice and Sprite. Get you where you're going.
Yeah, or Mogan David.
Now that stuff's still made. But
what is Mogan David 2020?
Well, but MD 2020 is not. I don't think it's still out there. I haven't seen it in ages.
Okay, that's something different.
Yeah, Mad Dog 2020 was a little bit of grape juice that had a shitload of grain alcohol poured in it.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't think it had that. It had plenty of Mogan David. It had plenty of Mogan David and plenty of Jim Beam, and plenty of Boone's Farm. Boone's Farm strawberry wine.
Well, okay, now you see this is
a jug of that. A jug of that could be had at Safeway for $1.49.
And a good time was had by all. I got to tell you, Matthew, you got people wondering now. With the Braille playing cards, Lee in New York says, doesn't that give the dealer an unfair advantage?
No. I'm trying to remember if I ever got to be the dealer.
Oh yeah, that was that hand to AC. That was that hand to AC Deucey where I won the car.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody let me be the dealer.
I'm sorry. You did it. I had to mute my mic there. Wait a minute. That was just so subtly funny. That's a.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody'd let me be the dealer.
You can't do that to me, Matthew. On another note, how's the shiny hiney working?
You know, I'm still tracking it. It's on its way from Shantung Province, China, where it was recently assembled by a little 9-year-old kid chained to a table.
The shiny hiney is on a boat from China.
Oh my God, you've got a million of them tonight, Matthew. But yeah, it's it's probably going to take longer because I ordered extra brush heads of various and sundry firmness, shall we say.
I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Gee whiz. Oh, man, that was some Friday on the front porch, I'm telling you.
No, we've had some Fridays for the ages lately.
Yeah, I know. You took me up on my suggestion about the fourth on the front porch.
Yes, that worked out nicely.
Yeah, I know. I came back. I was away, and couldn't listen because there wasn't any Wi-Fi to be had, and cell reception was okay, but I didn't really trust it, so I didn't listen, and of course, to the best of my knowledge, I can't use Skype.
We have prior sight impaired experience that says that the Skype interface
Kevin.
Just sucks.
Was that Kevin?
Kevin, among others.
Okay. Especially with it keeps updating. I'm sure. If I was ever to get it to work, it would update and then get all screwy again. But, oh God, there's been a lot of a lot of different things been pinging around in my head lately that, that, you know, with Jesse Lee and Coach Dave that I caught today kind of reminded me of something that's really starting to irritate me about certain of the people that liberals, progressives, whatever we want to call ourselves. There, at least certain ones of them, continue to refer to the abortion loonies as pro-life. And I just wish they would stop doing that.
But they're not gonna, Matthew, because it's a big dollar. It's a big dollar.
No, I'm talking about the ones that are the people that are trying to preserve those rights. They're basically playing on their opponent's turf.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think I understand what you mean now.
See, yeah. People who are committed to trying to hang on to, you know, women's rights, rights to, you know, reproductive choice, whatever that may be, trying to fight the anti-abortion and those people, they continued, the good guys, let's just say, and good guys, good girls, continue to say pro-life.
Well, that's why do you think I refer to them as fetus fetishists?
Right, and that's good, and that's because that's been really irritates me as much as Democrats calling Republicans our friends on the
yeah, well, that's a rule, yeah, because you can't call them low down slimy. Sneak
sons
thief and cut purse sons of bitches. That's again the rules. By the way, just a quick update. Matthew Les says, I like Woodford. I retired a bottle to the Liquor Hall of Fame at the top of my kitchen cabinets. Ron, he'll soon be back to Canada, says, major labels of bourbon and bourbon related products, Evan Williams, Elijah Craig, Old Fitzgerald, Larceny, Henry McKenna, Parker's Heritage. Heaven Hill, the Reverend Elijah Craig and Larceny are two of my favorite whiskeys, and apparently they're reliably redneck.
Okay, all right. Well, that's a good start.
But I'm also told that I was quite wrong about both Boone's Farm and Mad Dog. Yes, Isaac reminded me, and I did know them. The MD in Mad Dog was Mogan David, but
okay,
but yeah, it was that, but it was marketed as MD 2020, and
mm-hmm.
I guess up in the social circles in which Isaac moves, it's quite available down to the gas station, most any time you feel a hankering.
Okay.
Or maybe it's just because it's Ohio. I don't know. And okay. Ron in Raleigh tells me that, yes, Boone's Farm is still out there. Isaac adds via Twitter, I saw MD 2020 today.
Okay.
Oh, my. Boy, you know what? It's about 81 degrees here in the studio, and I got to admit, a big, tall glass iced tea glass full of ice. Half Mad Dog and half Sprite. That'd go over right crisp and refreshing right now. The only problem is about 30 minutes later, I'd be wandering around behind little animals.
Yeah, and you'd also have a pancreatitis.
Well, that's a bad thing, yes.
Or isn't that what happens to you?
Well, no, actually, it's food and medicine that does it.
Right, but the gut problem you get.
Yeah, I mean it, right.
Okay, well, and let's see. There's something I'm trying to think now. So after I got back from Texas, I started catching up on the show, and therefore I've now been introduced to John from Blue Dot in Texas.
Oh, John Bridevo, yeah, he's a force of nature.
And I listened to one of his YouTube videos last night. He was on a tear. I guess it was made the day after the Commander of Cheese did his thing in Montana.
Yeah, thereabouts. That was a moment of sublime madness, but it continued today in Europe.
Uh huh. Where he's trying to get out of NATO.
Well, he's just trying to make NATO safe for his boss Pooty.
I see. Well, about where the Commander of Cheese came from, don't you?
No.
That is Kellyanne Conway.
How so?
It was, I think I heard it was a clip, and it was on some podcast. I guess she was on CNN or someplace. And Bob Seska got it.
Oh, okay.
You know who Bob Seska is?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. I'm a patron of his show too. So I listen. I have him, and I got Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Yeah, geniuses.
They always do a humdinger of a show. But at any rate, it was, two or three weeks ago, and Kellyanne Conway, I think it had something to do with border policy. And she had a slip of the tongue and said, instead of commander-in-chief, she said commander of cheese, and then corrected herself. No, maybe it had to do with North Korea. I don't remember what the topic was. But Bob Seska and I think Jody Hamilton was on that day. They had a good time with that. So I like orangutan.
That one's for the ages. That one just won't quit.
Yeah. That one's probably the best one of all. As far as John goes, how do you spell his last name?
B-R-I-D-E-V-A-U-X.
B-R-I-D is in David.
Yeah.
E.
V.
A-U-X.
V-A-U-X.
Bridevo. B-R-I-D-E-V-A-U-X. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna see about passing that. Sharing that, some of his links around to some people.
He's damn good at what he does.
Yeah. Well, the one I saw, and then.
I reckon he's probably posted his Wednesday rant by now.
Yeah, he probably has. We'll see what that's all about. I think I haven't checked it out yet, but the one for Monday was about screw Mitch McConnell. Let's do what he did. Is in terms of Supreme Court.
Well, if only we could.
Well,
no, we don't, but we don't have the numbers.
Right.
And sadly, I'm seeing some folks out there. I mean, I pay attention in West Virginia in particular. People saying, well, you know, we just got to let Joe Manchin do what Joe Manchin's going to do because we got to have him in the Senate because we can't have that Republican.
Well, yeah, well, you don't want the king of opioids in there.
Well, no, I mean, no, but
I'm not saying Joe.
But remember, Joe's daughter is the head of the aforementioned Mylan Pharmaceuticals.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
She of the jacked up EpiPen.
Yeah. I don't envy you folks down there in West Virginia.
No, I gotta think that it's real easy to feel like you live in downright civilization sitting there in Humboldt.
Yeah, well, we've got a little town about 30 miles south of us. It's chock-a-block with maggots.
Oh no, I understand that far region, Northern California, state of Jefferson country, all of that stuff. I mean, Sparky schooled me on that a long time ago.
Yeah, well, we're about 3-4 hours away from where the state of Jefferson country is. But this particular area is just 30 minutes to the south of me. It's a little town called Fortuna, and it's got some maggots in it.
They got a maggot problem.
Yeah, they do. We don't have too many of them here in Arcata. But we do. But we've got them in Humboldt County, so I'm not naive enough to say to believe that any place is immune.
Well, because no place is.
No, and you know, but I was kind of, but it did help me. You know, I'd come back from Texas. You know, I barely managed to get through at least certain parts of the trip without just blowing my top. I'm kind of surprised at that, but I did. I had to take a Clonopin several times just to keep myself together, but I mean you can ask Tracy about, she'd probably tell you the same thing.
Well, I understand it. I just pulled up your neck of the woods on the Google Earth, and there, lo and behold, there's Fortuna. Just north of Hydesville.
Yeah. Hydesville, Ferndale is just a little bit north of Fortuna.
Wasn't that the name of the spinoff of Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, Ferndale Tonight?
No, I think this Ferndale came.
No, that was Fernwood. Fernwood Tonight.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, Ferndale's been around for a lot longer than that. You might sometime check out the Kinetic Sculpture Race.
Well, that sounds like something I'm going to probably check out right after the program tonight, Matthew.
It would be worth, there's, I'm sure there are YouTube videos and there's probably, you know, just Google it. Kinetic Sculpture Race. It happens every year on Memorial Day weekend. It's a 3-day, well, two and a half day deal. Starts in Arcata from Saturday and ends up in Ferndale. And what it is it's groups of people, the teams, that build these human-powered sculptures. You know, they're essentially bicycles. You know, bicycle-powered. But they do all kinds of elaborate stuff in making them into sculptures and things, and they have to make them so that they can go across Humboldt Bay, so they got to be able to float, and they got to cross the Eel River, and they've got to be able to go through sand dunes, and they've got to go up.
That just sounds like a blast.
And they got to go up something called Slimy Slope, which is pretty self-explanatory. It's the bank, after they cross the river, they go up this thing to get out of the river.
Well, lo and behold, Sparky has just provided me the YouTube video of it, so I will be checking it out right after the program.
Okay, well, that'd be worth seeing. Give you an idea of what happens, and then there's a museum over in Eureka where they display some of these things. So that's kind of a tourist spot. So that's one of our big deals here.
Where's the Oyster Fest?
We got the Oyster Fest.
That's what I'd like to visit for the Oyster Festival. I just would.
Yeah, but you know, I haven't been in years, and I'm a little claustrophobic, and it is just gotten to be huge crowds. I mean, thousands and thousands of people show up in a relatively small space around Arcata Plaza, and it's you get hemmed in, and a lot of people by the end of it are drunk as skunks.
Well, that sounds like a good time was had by all.
Yeah, until you get an elbow right above the eye.
Well, you know, it's not a party till something gets broke, including an eye orbit.
No, I just got a little cut and a black eye. wasn't intentional. It was just, you know, so many people in a tight space and just kind of bumped in somebody. Just a collision more than anything else. So, anyway, I guess you're trying to sounded like you were trying to conjure up Todd. So
no, not really. It was just a matter of the way he wrote that.
Yeah.
That kind of begged for his, shall we say, vocal stylings.
There you go. Yeah. He does. He's got some pretty good ones. His cranky white man impression.
No, with it very, yes, unbeatable.
Yeah, yeah, old John Britovo, he showed up on 3 front porch sessions in a row.
Yep. Mighty nice to have him wander by. I don't know. If Sparky finds him and talks him into it, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing before I sign off. You'll be glad to know that you're not alone in your criticism of the civility police.
Oh, good.
The Washington Post was being all.
The Washington Post. It was the New York Times. But I opened my copy of the Post, and pearls fell out of it because of all the pearl clutching that had gone on over in Civilita.
The one I remember we were talking about, and I don't remember if it was from the Post or if it was on CNN or something, but it had to do with the Sarah Huckleberry Hound getting asked to leave the Red Hen.
Yes.
And the commentator was acting like, oh, that's uncivil. You shouldn't do that.
Oh, it's just terrible. It's terrible. Oh, the humanity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, on the Professional Left podcast, which is Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Right, yeah.
This was probably about 3 weeks ago, I guess. Driftglass was talking about, he has his own blog, and he writes on it every day, pretty much every day. I haven't actually checked it out, but it sounds like it'd be worth doing.
Oh, no, he's a brilliant writer. He's a brilliant writer, absolutely.
Yeah, and so is Blue Gal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's the head of Crooks and Liars.
The head of?
Yeah.
No, I think John Amato runs Crooks and Liars, but maybe she's the editor in chief or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, maybe so.
I don't know. I didn't know she was associated with CNL.
Yeah. Yeah, she's, if not the head of.
But I tell you what, the
way up there.
I get more fun out of Driftglass taking apart David Brooks.
Yeah, he's like, he does that a lot. And one of the things that they do and that I appreciate, and some others are starting to pick it up, which I'm pleased to see. Bob Seska, for one, is Driftglass and Blue Gal both. They're always that which is.
I'm sorry, I lost you for a second. They're always what?
They're always talking about, on the for-profit media engages in both-siderism.
Oh, yeah.
Which meaning, they might acknowledge
false equivalency. Both sides do it. Yes.
Both sides do it.
You can't criticize anything a Republican does without citing three Democrats that did it in the past, even if the thing the three Democrats did wasn't even remotely similar to what the Republican just did.
Right.
Right. Yes.
Right. But anyway, as far as the civility police go, Griff Glass was talking one day, and he said that he had been getting comments on his blog posts that criticizing him for using fuck a lot. And he pointed out that the word fuck has a very long and rich history that goes back centuries, all the way back to, I think he said, all the way back to Middle English. So, and he also pointed out, there are times when there are just times when there's just no other word that is appropriate to accurately describe the situation or the feeling or whatever.
Right. So you match the word to the moment.
You match the word to the moment. So fuck the fucking civility police.
There we go. with a red hot poker. Matthew, it's been a lovely conversation. I'm glad you enjoyed, I guess if we can use that word, your trip to Texas. But I'm glad you're home in homely Humboldt.
Yeah, and I was proud to run across old John Britovo from Texas right after I got back. Makes me feel a little better about that state.
Well, look, there are probably, and it's just the fact, gerrymandering is much or more of it than anything else is. Remember, before the Civil Rights Act, Texas was a Democratic state.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, as John pointed out, most of the major all of the major metropolitan areas in Texas
are
Democratic or blue or whatever you want to call it. And that's why the Texas legislature has to work so damned hard to gerrymander that out of reality so that they can hang on to power. It is a truism of Republicans, Matthew, that Republicans can't win without cheating. The last two presidents that they put in office, they had to cheat to get there.
So true.
They've maintained their death grip on the Congress, again, through cheating, gerrymandering, through voter suppression. And they live in 24/7 terror of the day that they can't cheat enough. And I know, for instance,
I was kind of nice to see Chris Kobach get his a little while back.
Well, but he hasn't got enough of his yet because he's not behind bars.
No, that's true. But at least gotta. You got to take them where you can get them.
Well, sure you do. Sure you do.
Smoke them if you got them.
The smoking lamp is lighted, indeed. Matthew, have yourself a good evening, my friend.
All right.
All right, you take care now.
Give my regards to everybody.
I think you just did.
All right.
Later now.
Later.
Bye. Our buddy Matthew calling from far Humboldt County, California. And so we're about 30 minutes from the end of the program. We've got some real news that needs to be gone into. But Wednesdays we reserve for the religious madness. And in point of fact, it's valid. because you know, these theocratic goons are going to be the ones that drive, and for their own obvious stated policy goals, the transformation of this country into a Christian theocracy, the Christian equivalent of, you know, Iran. So that's, you know, that's why we talk about these things. The thing I hate to talk about is fundraising. And we're at $430 to go. It'll be $630 tomorrow night. The way things are going, it'll be $830 Friday night. And I'm sitting here waiting to pay the bills that keep the program on the air from month to month to month. I wish I could say that I can just do this all out of my own pocket, but Agnes and I did that for a lot of years. And now we survive on, you know, and the thing is, wow, 43 Patreon or PayPal subscribers, and there's a whole lot more than 43 people out there listening to this program, and a lot more than already subscribe. And that's not me leaning on anybody, but, you know, don't hurt yourself. Don't do without. You know, a televangelist will tell you, yeah, you know, God will make you rich if you go ahead and go hungry this month. Bullshit. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about keeping this conversation going and possibly expanding the conversation. And it scarcely bears mentioning, but there is a challenge on the table. Beat the Swede 2018 Netroots Nation Challenge, courtesy of our buddy Scott. It's got about $265 in it so far of the 1,000. If you want to help out with it, if you want to help out with that, just send hit the PayPal button and put that message in there, and that'll be how that works. I despise talking about fundraising. God, I hate it. Kind of sucks all the fun out of the program because we have a lot of fun around here. But like I said, there's some news that needs covered. I presume you know everything that there is to know about the freakery of the orangutans' visit. And boy, you want to talk about a harangue. The orangutans' visit to NATO. Jesus. Accusing Germany of being tools of Russia? What? Because, I mean, Jesus. I had a note earlier today from Lee in New York, who was apparently a little bit on the gobsmacked side of things as a result of the orangutans' behavior in Europe. Lee said, I watched Trump's rant about Germany and energy in Russia. Trump said that Germany gets most of its energy from Russia. Then he said, explain that, and it can't be explained. Well, sorry, POTUS, it can be explained, says Lee. It can even be explained in business terms, you know, because you're a fabulous businessman. If you're a farmer and you grow crops, you can eat your crops, and you can sell the crops you don't intend to eat. Germany produces energy. It produces more than it uses, and it sells the rest. It is not unable to produce energy without Russia. It just sees it as a way to make money. Who knew businesses could be profitable instead of going bankrupt? Bob, I happen to notice that Germany produced 92.6 terawatts of energy from hard coal in the latest year reported. Sounds like Trump's missing an opportunity to see a mountaintop removed. Someone should tell Trump that NATO does not stand for Not America's Tax Outlet. But, you know, that was just some sort of madness that was handed to him. You know, this stuff's, I'd say 90% of this shit is generated by Stephen Miller. That little Neo Maxi Zoom dweeby just whispers sweet lunacies in the orangutan's ears, and he's off and gone. You see, that's the problem. Alexander says, Brother Bob, if Germany's a tool of Russia, then what does that make the U.S.? Good question. Because a little something-something happened in the Senate earlier today. The vote was taken, the confirmation vote was taken on the orangutan's nominee to head up the criminal division of the Justice Department. Brian Benchkowski is that nominee. Brian Benchkowski has open, known, reported ties to a bank that's, you know, under FBI investigation. It's a Russian bank. But 50 members of the United States Senate said, well, hell yeah, let's put him in charge of the criminal division. That way, if there's anything about criminal business and Russian banks ever comes up, he can put the kibosh on it. But the fact of the matter is, it was not a 50-49 vote. It was a 51-48 vote. Because a Democrat voted for this creep. The Democrat who voted for this creep was, come on, you know it by now, Joe Manchin. Because there's just something about Joe Manchin's character that makes him a lickspittle to anything that Donald Trump wants. This does not bode well for the coming fight over Brett Kavanaugh. Or maybe we can overthink this a little bit and say, well, you know, he gave in on Benchkowski so that he could later say, well, you know, I vote for Donald Trump's shit a lot, but I just couldn't vote for Brett Kavanaugh. Jesus, Heidi fucking Heitkamp stayed in line and wouldn't vote for the Russian banker to head the criminal division of the Justice Department. Joe Donnelly from Talibandiana, who could be credibly challenged by a Nazi because it's Talibandiana. He stayed in line. Claire McCaskill stayed in line. Doug Jones got it right. But not old Joe looking for balance Manchin. No, hell no. Joe's got to go sniffing along after the nether reaches of Donald Trump again. Because, well, he's Joe. And that's what Joe does. Anatole in the chat room says, Joe Manchin's the Trumpiest Democrat in our government. Sadly, I fear you're right. Now, wouldn't that just beat cat's fucking if it turned out that we kept all the Democrats in line and came to a 50-50 split, that theoretically Mike Pence might not be able to break, and Joe Manchin put Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. But my God, this business at the NATO summit is deeply disturbing. I don't know if you realize it, but in Estonia, they're planning on getting invaded by Russia. They're not pondering the possibility. They're planning on it. They expect it. So does Latvia and Lithuania. Because they're watching what's happening in Ukraine. And they know that Putin has a real hard-on for their coastline. Putin wants to put back together the old Soviet Union without the communist organizing principle and just turn and just turn what used to be the old Soviet states into a massive global or continental kleptocracy. Because at the end of the day, Putin is just a common thug. He's a crook. He's a nasty old spook who has never stopped being what he essentially is. Well, how about that? I had no idea. I love me some anagrams. Laurel just passed along a little something. Rearrange the letters in President Trump and you get Mr. Putin's red pet. Son of a gun. Certainly seemed like it today in Europe. Again, he lost his mind on Germany if he had one to lose in the first place. I mean, Jesus.
The clip, here's Donald Trump actually doing exactly what Vladimir Putin would want him to do. Good morning.
Many countries owe us a tremendous amount of money from many years back where they're delinquent, as far as I'm concerned, because the United States has had to pay for them. So if you go back 10 or 20 years, you'll just add it all up. It's massive amounts of money is owed. The United States has paid and stepped up like nobody. This has gone on for decades, by the way. This has gone on for many presidents, but...
You know, remember, this guy doesn't know anything. He's a complete idiot. Who's telling him this stuff? Well, you know who's telling him this stuff. Putin is telling him this stuff, and Putin's people. I don't know why you remain in this NATO. You are paying all the money, and you're getting nothing out of it. NATO is nothing to you. Why do you not get out of NATO? NATO is not a good bargain. You're a bargain hunter, Donald. Right? Yes. It is time for you to deal hand of solitaire. You bargain hunter, you.
No other president brought it up like I bring it up.
The good news is that the allies have started to invest more in defense. After years of cutting defense budgets, they have started to add billions to the defense budgets. And last year was the biggest increase in defense spending across Europe and Canada in a generation.
Why was that last year?
It's also because of your leadership, because of your clear message. And
they won't write that. But...
Jesus, the crazy. They're trying to be nice to him. They're trying to flatter him. We're putting more money in it because of your leadership.
Sad when Germany makes a massive oil and gas deal with Russia where you're supposed to be guarding against Russia and Germany goes out and pays billions and billions of dollars a year to Russia. So we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting all of these countries. And then numerous of the countries go out and make a pipeline deal with Russia where they're paying billions of dollars into the coffers of Russia. So we're supposed to protect you against Russia, but they're paying billions of dollars to Russia. And I think that's very inappropriate. And the former chancellor of Germany is the head of the pipeline company that's supplying the gas. Ultimately, Germany will have almost 70% of their country controlled by Russia with natural gas. So
you know, that's essentially not true. Russia, by selling natural gas, is not going to control Germany. Think about who Donald Trump's other friends are. You know, the guys with the orb. make a little more sense now? Yeah.
I've been complaining about this from the time I got in. It should have never been allowed to have happened. But Germany is totally controlled by Russia.
What can you say to that? The man's unhinged. He's not in command of his faculties. A responsible Congress would have already looked at the Vice President and said, it's time to write the 25th Amendment letter, dumbass. You get to be president. I mean, look, even Mike Pence, weird, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual that he is, Mike Pence does not have a history of bowing and scraping to Russia. This damned fool, this orangutan, is just babbling any shit that comes into his brain, and there's a bunch of, you know, we've got a nation of Jesse Lee Petersons, albeit paler Jesse Lee Petersons, who are going, ain't been wrong about nothing yet.
I think it's something that NATO has to look at. I think it's very inappropriate. You and I agree that it's inappropriate.
NATO is an alliance of 29 nations, and there are sometimes differences and different views and also some disagreements. And the gas pipeline from Russia to Germany is one issue where allies disagree. But the strength of NATO is that despite these differences, we have always been able to unite around our core task to protect and defend each other, because we understand that we are stronger together than apart. I think that two world wars and the Cold War taught us that we are stronger together than apart.
But how can you be together when a country is getting its energy from the person you want protection against or from the group that you want protection?
Because we understand that...
This stupid fuck does not understand the beneficial aspects of trade. That if you're trading with someone, you're less likely to go to war with them. I mean, these are principles that go... I mean, these are deep, and again, with the anthropology that these people don't study. If you form trading partnerships with a people, it reduces the likelihood of them wanting to kill you or you wanting to kill them, because you are bound together in what is perceived as a mutually beneficial relationship. You get their shit, they get your shit. You got shit they don't have, they got shit you don't have. Now everybody's got good shit. That was almost Carlin-esque, if I dare say so. But President Spirochetes can't conceive of that, because in his mind, which is a terrible, horrible, horrible, horrible business mind, everything's a zero-sum game, and if he doesn't have something, it's a bad thing. James in Illinois says, accusing Germany. Projection, is that psychological term? The three doofus senators, in my opinion, are taking turns. Who's dependent, James adds, Russia, on Europe's money? Because all they got is the fucking gas. Nobody wants to buy a Russian car. Nobody wants to buy a Russian airplane. Nobody wants to buy a Russian washing machine or a Russian refrigerator or a Russian stove. It's garbage. It always has been. Jesus Christ, their submarine fleet, half of the damn things had to be christened in moving underwater ceremonies. You know, down at the bottom. Poets? Yes. Theater? Yes. Ballet? Yes. Refrigerators? Fuck no! And the price you pay to avoid war is to do business with a kleptocrat like Putin. Whatever the value of that natural gas deal, a huge chunk of that is going into Putin's pockets. Because he's another one of these fuckwits who has not figured out that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses. And for as long as he's around, he plans to use it, and alongside his power, to sow chaos and make mischief in the world. Because that's his and their M.O. It's the only way they can project force. Remember that conversation last night with Jim about a warm water port? I got one. They're landlocked, for the most part. I mean, yeah, the Kamchatka Peninsula, far northern Pacific. And they're miles and miles and miles from vibrant markets. And the Chinese are eating their lunch. And so all they can do is try to destabilize things. This isn't about protecting their borders and Mother Russia. This is about force projection. Yeah, Ron and Raleigh points out, their planes aren't so bad except they don't sell them. Their fighter planes, that is. Ah, come on, Bob, says Brother Deacon. Hey, so that Moscovich was a hell of a car. Don't know why they went out of business? Alexander says simply, Trump is either doing drugs or he's suffering from Alzheimer's. Well, it's a combination of the two, and I still say he probably has tertiary neurosyphilis. Damn sure fits the profile. And by the way, who also hates natural gas? The coal industry. Now, the Netherlands burns a shit ton of mountaintop removal coal. Russia, for a while, controlled some of the coal mines that Jim Justice bought back. But they don't need it now because they have an excess of natural gas that they can sell. James says he's stirring the pot. Yeah, just to see what kind of chaos rises in the foam. Yeah, that's me, Bob Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine. But it's hard to get all upbeat and optimistic. When you've got somebody who is not in control of his faculties in the White House, and a third of American voters saying, yeah, anything he says, he ain't never been proved wrong. See how we loop back to Jesse Lee Peterson? Yeah. Don't try this at home. Yeah, a little more. Just, you know, a little more.
Germany is totally controlled by Russia, because they will be getting from 60 to 70% of their energy from Russia and a new pipeline. And you tell me if that's appropriate, because I think it's not. And I think it's a very bad thing for NATO, and I don't think it should have happened.
I seldom say go do something, but in this case, go do this. Go to Think Progress. The headline says Trump launches unhinged attack on Germany at NATO summit. Now, that clip I just played, you probably heard it a dozen times by now. But if you scroll down in the story at thinkprogress.org, Trump launches unhinged attack on Germany at NATO summit, you'll get video that I can't help with here radio-wise. But you get a tight shot showing Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, who graduated first in his class at West Point. Got to say that. He needs us to say that. But at the far end, at the left end of the screen, you'll see John Kelly, about whom stories are flying that Trump doesn't have the guts to fire him. So what's happening instead is that he's just being berated and left out of the loop. The chief of staff, the White House chief of staff, is being left out of the loop so that eventually he'll get disgusted and quit. Well, Mike Pompeo on the right and John Kelly on the left, when he starts talking about Russia totally controls Germany, the body language on those two is unmistakable. Kelly in particular gets a case of the fidget turnaways that make it look like he's about to run out the door and start tearing at his clothing and eating dirt and running rabbits. And by the way, the article cites CNN noting that in 2015, about 35% of the natural gas that Germany imported came from Russia. And that's about the same that came from Norway. And of course, Germany also produces a ton of wind and solar energy. None of this matters. Facts don't matter. Facts don't matter to spirochetes. As Ron and Raleigh notes, Russia can't control shit if you look at GDP by country. So they're left to sow chaos in the hopes of making shit fall apart. And, you know, it just so happens that if you've got a hard-on for Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and you're already attacking Ukraine, then nothing would be better than to make NATO fall apart and be unable. Because, see, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia are members of NATO, and they speak with one voice. And NATO is obliged to defend them if Russia attacks them. Well, if Russia attacks Estonia, as Estonia expects them to do, NATO will be obliged to step in. Putin knows that. NATO knows that. And the orangutan's job is to try to shatter NATO so that it cannot live up to its treaty obligations. And in particular, to keep the United States from honoring its treaty obligations. Plain and simple. So thanks. Hey, thanks go out to Charlene in Rhode Island. Thank you so much, Charlene. Charlene just knocked down a little bit more of the Beat the Swede Challenge for 2018. With a note, for Netroots Nation, where you'll preach the gospel. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. Don't know if they'll let me preach, but I'll damn sure try. So that leaves us with $430 in fundraising to go. It'd be $630 tomorrow. It's a tough July. It would be a lot easier if, like, you know, 63 people signed up at Patreon or 63 people signed up at PayPal for, you know, less than half a taco a day. That's what keeps us on the air. We're not talking about the millions of dollars that Alex Jones makes. We're not talking about having a yen for a Jones for a Gulfstream 5. It's a lot more prosaic here. Things like keeping the lights on, and the internet hot, and the mic hot, and the phone's going. And maybe along the way, being able to improve things a little bit here and there. So maybe the overnight crowd will take a bite out of it. Okay? Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who do keep the program going. Thank you to all of you who share in your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly this evening to midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.